power of one thing every day done over an extended period of time will change your life. And that is a fact. Good or bad, by the way. Habits that are bad get developed one thing over an extended period of time, and so do the good things that make a difference in our life, our health, our finance, our relationships, our faith, growing our faith, right? Hey, I'm Dr. Randy Carlson. This is the Intentional Living Studios at our Intentional Living Center, along with Jennifer and Stephen. We're going to talk about the power of one thing, or little things that become powerfully big things in your marriage. Frankly, sometimes good, sometimes bad. And we'd love to have you share with us something that has made a difference. You know, something that it was kind of like, well, I don't know. We've just been doing this on a regular basis and over an extended period of time. I guess we don't even realize the difference it's making. What is it? Praying together, spending time together, talking about issues together, forgiving one another every day. What's one thing that makes a difference? Call and share it on our storyline as you give us a call at 888-1717 for our comment line.
I want to do one thing that might improve this. I mean, our relationship in general needs to be good because we have kids. And, you know, maybe it will improve us.
If you wake up and have that intentional living attitude of, I want to love this person no matter what, as much as I possibly can, and outlove that person, it will change your marriage.
What I've learned is it's important to remember who you're accountable to.
So my one thing is just being a hands person, you know, doing more with more, because my wife's love language is acts of service.
One of the things that we have been doing while I was working is she would text me a little message during the day, or I would text her, and we'd kind of tag each other back and forth all day.
I found out pretty quickly into our marriage that he wasn't perfect, and I started to change my perspective just by keeping a list of things that I really appreciate about him. And I got to where I couldn't stop adding to the list. There were so many things.
Number one is my husband and I, we've made the commitment of praying every morning together before it goes. But we're learning together over the years to not only pray for our needs, but to pray for the needs of others. And then learning to pray to be better helpmates to each other.
You know, this is so cool. I kind of think of the power of one thing like a chain. You know, you put things together and all of a sudden you start to see this beautiful thing unfold. Kids, our grandkids would come over and, you know, get the little beads and put the beads through the needle, through the little hole. And then they'd build, drive me crazy. I mean, that's way too much detail. But, you know, they would sit there and meticulously do that. And then after a while, they come, Papa, look at this, you know, and they've made this beautiful necklace or bracelet because that's really the power of one thing. That's what we're talking about. Building a little bit over an extended period of time. The Apostle Paul says, forgetting what's behind, I'm doing one thing every day. He didn't say that, but this one thing I do, that's really what he says in Scripture, right? This one thing I do, he pursues the goal that God has called him to in his life. And if you want to have a life that really gets to a place where you say, hey, I'm in that sweet spot. You want to experience life the way God intended, you got to live it the way God intended. And we're here to help you do that. We want to encourage you, we want to cheerlead you, encourage you. We want to point that direction and hear your stories. And we're in this journey together, and thank all of you who are praying for us in the process. Talking about the power of one thing in marriage today. And Sarah, I know you want to weigh in on this yourself. So what's your one thing?
A question that was asked on the radio, I heard it. And my answer would be to what would I do to help my marriage intentionally? It would be to not allow money to control how I love my husband and not allow anything to control how I love him. Just love him with nothing holding me back. No matter what he does, his sinful nature, just still love him. And know that it will get better because of prayer and because of supplication and because that I didn't give up my trust and hope that God would keep us together as one. Today was a very hard day for me to do that. And when I heard this question, I knew why. I knew I was supposed to call. And so I called. And so I just feel like that's something that God had wanted me to do. So thank you. God bless.
Yeah, you're very welcome. Thank you, Sarah, for sharing that. And That's why we do the show, you know, by the way. We want people to have aha moments instead of oh no moments. Aha moments, awareness. And so we pray for you on that journey every day. Be praying for your husband and taking care of yourself and realize the power of that, doing the next right thing. All right, Andrea, what's the little thing that you did in your marriage that's making a difference?
So this is a second marriage for me, and I got married in 2021. Mm-hmm. And I'm a real, loving, physical touch kind of person, and my new husband was not. And I just said, you know, it's going to be a rule in our house that every time we leave or we come home, we're just going to kiss each other hello and goodbye. And it took a while to develop that pattern, but it just makes a difference that every day you just know that if I'm at home and he comes in, he'll always come in and give me a kiss or vice versa. And so you're always having that special, you know, greeting and goodbye. And it's a small thing, but it was really important to me. So.
And it's made a difference in your marriage.
So far, so good.
Yeah.
Absolutely. We really do have a good marriage.
Now, this was a second marriage. What have you learned in a second marriage that would help other couples thinking about that?
Well, sort of like the name of your show, Intentional Living. We went to a class before we got married, and one thing they said in the class is make the most important thing the most important thing. Yeah. And so on the day you're getting married, it's the most important thing. But can you continue to make the most important thing the most important thing? And that was from David Covey's book, 7 Habits of the Highly Successful Person.
Yeah, that's
so,
very good.
You have to really be mindful.
Yeah. And by the way, Covey went on to say in that book about the importance of putting the big rocks in before the little rocks. And if you've, it's interesting. I have in my office over here a demonstration of that. You take a bowl and then you put in all the little rocks. Let's say, you know, the pebble type rocks. You fill it halfway up and then you get the bigger stones and put them in. The reality is they don't all fit. But if you put the bigger stones in first, and then you put the little things in later, it kind of goes down through all the rocks, right? Fills in all the crevices, and all of a sudden it fills up beautifully. And I remember when I first saw that at a conference with Stephen Covey. I don't know, that was before you all were born. I don't know, a long time ago. But it was a powerful illustration of when we put the big rocks into our life first. I know we're talking about one thing and little things, but when you say, hey, what's most important is I want to have a marriage that honors God. I want to have a marriage where we're growing together spiritually. I want to have a marriage where we can communicate and raise our kids in a godly environment and have an opportunity to come to Christ. All right, then here's the thing. What are all the little things we're going to do that? That's the way this works. That's really the word picture. If you get the big decisions in there first, you can start making all the little intentional living power of one thing decisions that'll make that a reality. All right. Let's take a quick break and we'll be right back.
You're listening to Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. Intentional Living is furnished by Intentional Life Media and is made possible by the generous support of listeners just like you. This program is not a substitute for professional counseling, medical, financial, or legal advice. Intentional Living is not intended to be therapy by radio, but it is intended to help you live an intentional life in Jesus Christ. We are Intentional Living, and we'll be right back.
This encouraged me because I go through great periods of discouragement. And often it's related right here in the ministry in terms of the expectations of Share-a-thon or myself. Come on. To me, because of the position I'm in, those are the things where Satan can discourage me. See? Something doesn't work the way you think it's going to work, or come together with a great, brilliant idea and whatever. And the expectation, reality, things go through this process. As I thought about this, you know the word of appointment I looked up. An appointment is to set a time, and a disappointment is a force against the things that you've been planning to do. And as I thought about that, I thought, you know what we need to do when we're feeling really disappointed is we need to set a new appointment. We need a new goal. And maybe that appointment first is with God to say, Lord, I need a new I need a new direction here in my life today. By the way, that is an excerpt from this brand new or the powerful lesson on discouragement that's brand new up on our featured site at our website here. It's for you all. It's made possible because of the generous prayers and support of so many wonderful men and women around the country who pray for us and businesses and ministries. Thank you so much. God bless you. You can join us today by going to theintentionallife.com. And when you click on donate, say, I want to be a part of the ministry. Fill it out. And we want to say thanks in advance for you all doing that. Or you can call during West Coast business hours, 888-888-1717, to join us in the ministry. We'd love to hear from you. All right. Again, 888-888-1717, or go to theintentionallife.com. And when you do, you're going to be part of the ministry that's making a difference in the lives of people around the country. Thank you for that. All right, Alexander, thanks for waiting in Michigan. What's your one thing?
Well, one of the outstanding, or what stands out, I guess, is the communication aspects. One of the items that I fell into a lot in the beginning years was when I had enough of the noise and the busyness of the kids, I would just leave the room or leave the house without really communicating that where I'm going or why I'm doing it. You know, it's just something that I would do.
And how'd that impact your marriage and your family?
Well, it definitely didn't go over very well to my wife because she was A, worried, and B, was definitely created a spirit of like, well, I can't really trust or rely on my husband. But it also took her a while to really voice that concern. So by then the hurt was already well established.
So it came to a head. Is that what it was? Kind of a crisis point?
Yes, for sure. It came with some significant need for therapy at that point as well.
How are you guys doing now?
Oh, great. A lot better. We have our issues, as every couple does, I would say. But overall, between Anne and I, things are a lot better. Mm-hmm. And I would say that is the one thing that, as a man, if it's important to communicate clearly about your feelings, why you're doing something, because it may not seem obvious to your spouse. Mm. And that is important.
Yeah. All right. You got it out clearly, I think, for us as guys to understand. We're different than our spouse in many ways, and understand that communication is a key to a happy marriage. It really is. Walking away and not knowing why, leaving your spouse wondering, is not a good idea under any circumstance. Talking about marriage today, Eddie wants to join us in Texas with a question, apparently. Eddie, how are you today?
Good, sir. Good. How are you been?
I'm doing fine, thank you. What's going on? What's your question?
Well, I really wanted to join in because of you guys are speaking with marriage and all what I've been hearing. You haven't received someone with really suffering right now, and I'm going through something really horrible with my spouse. Started with God, my relationship. Okay. Mm-hmm. This is where I'm lost. This is what I don't know what to do. Yeah. I started my relationship with God, everything. I gave myself, I was 17 and she was 16. I gave myself to this lady, my first woman, and I was her first man. Everything, we started with God, everything. 18 years now. I understood, well, on her past, when she was younger, she was abused, okay? But I understood that nothing is impossible with God. Well, That's what I thought. Do I still believe it? I want to believe it.
Yeah.
7 months ago, my wife decided to leave. I'm working over here in West Texas. I'm a self-contractor, a specialty welder. Mm-hmm. And on this trade, we put a lot of hours. We put 16 hours a day, 7 days a 7 days a week. Well, she decided that it was too much for her, so she went with her mom. While she was with her mom, I went and I started getting counseling. Any kind of religion, I don't care, as long as it's God in God is present in my relationship, that's what I want. I'm desperate.
All right, let me see if I understand. Desperate. I hear your desperation, Eddie. Let me see if I clarify in my head a couple things. Your wife right now is living with her mom and telling you she wants a divorce. She doesn't want to be married. If I were to ask her one reason, what would it be in a sentence? What would she say to me why she wants to divorce you?
Because she thinks I cheated on her. And this is why she thinks I cheated on her.
And did you?
The reason she left, no, sir. The reason she left, she's been telling me that I'm not affectionate with her. I'm not kissing her too much. I'm tired. I understand. I understand what she's getting to.
So does it sound...
All her mom...
Is she basically saying to you, Eddie, this is a cry for help? Let's get some help. Is that really what the message is?
Well, at this point, I don't think it is.
You think she wants to end it?
Every time that a wife calls, and this is happens, but nobody wants to say, and I'm here. I'm an honest man, and I'm telling you, sometimes whenever wives keep accusing men, you're cheating on me, you're cheating on me. Man gets frustrated, and I had a walkie-talkie, the television was on. Whenever a woman speaks, I was putting the woman, so she believed there was a woman with me. I tried to talk to her and tell her, hey, my consequences, my actions had consequences, and I'm sorry, this is what I did. No, she doesn't.
All right, Eddie, listen, You're in a crisis right now with your wife. And whenever you're in a crisis, what happens is everything gets real narrow. We can only see the next step in front of us. I'd encourage you to take a deep breath. If you're a follower of Christ, I hear you say that, you're a follower of Christ, you need to get plugged in to get some support for where you are right there in Texas. You need to be in a church. You need to be in a fellowship. You need some guys around you. You need a counselor. You need someone right there that's going to help you take care of yourself. You cannot control your wife. You have no control over what she's going to do. She can decide to stay. She can decide to leave. She can decide to think you're being unfaithful to her. You can't change her mind. There's nothing you can do that's going to change your wife other than you being who you need to be in Christ. And then allow God to do his work in your wife's life. I call this a 3-foot rule. Now, let me just speak to everybody for a minute. Eddie's call is a reminder to us that we can be responsible for about 3 feet outside of ourselves. The words that come out of our mouths, the things that we say, the things that we do, and that over an extended period of time, there are consequences for certain things. When people are not communicating, they're not connecting, they're not on the same page, it's a little bit, again, we're talking about the power of one thing today, little things over an extended period of time. How little things over an extended period of time can start to build. We need to keep short accounts in our marriage. It says in the Bible, don't go to bed at night with wrath. And I would say, don't go to bed at night with anything between you and your spouse. It may not be anger or wrath. It could be misunderstanding, confusion, a lack of closeness. And it gets back to being able to say, God, I need to do the next right one thing. What is that next right one thing? For you, Eddie, I'd recommend to follow through with what I suggested, getting plugged into a counselor, get into a church, and allow God, don't chase other things, just allow God to speak to your heart and pray for your wife. Because you can't change her, and if you over-pursue, that can be a turnoff too. Give her space and allow God to do a work in her life. Because if she's a Christian, my encouragement would be that that one thing, that power of God's Holy Spirit in her life would make a difference. All right, my friend. I know a lot of people will be praying for you, and I'm sorry you're going through that today. All right, let's take a quick break, and we'll be back with some more.
We've all been discouraged. Perhaps a relationship didn't pan out, or you didn't get that job you applied for, or maybe your life hasn't gone as you expected.
When people become discouraged, it's usually because they've first been disappointed. Our formula is expectation minus reality equals disappointment, because disappointment always follows something that we expect that doesn't turn into reality.
In Dr. Randy's message, Overcoming Discouragement, he provides you with practical advice for how to not let discouragement get in the way and how to find your strength in Christ. With your monthly gift to Intentional Living, you'll be a part of a special group that can listen to this message along with unlimited access to all of Dr. Randy's past teachings. So don't wait. Give now and you'll get access to these life-changing resources today by calling 888-888-1717 or visiting theintentionallife.com. That's theintentionallife.com.
All right. Thank you for doing that. Do pray for Eddie. You can tell he's in crisis. And we give him a big hug through the radio. I know many people praying. One of the advantages we have is we got a huge community of people listening all over the world praying for you now, Eddie, right now, that God will move in your life, give you peace. Let the peace of Christ rule in your heart, as the scripture says, okay? Because I'll tell you what, the sun's coming up tomorrow, and we're praying that something good will come from this for you. But he'll be with you. You'll make it through this if you stick with him every day. All right, let's get back to some of the Power of One Thing calls here. Edmund in Arizona, how you doing?
Hey, great. Thanks for having me on the air today. I love the topic.
Yeah, it is interesting.
My wife and I, we've been married for about 20 years. And one thing that we instituted really early was this practice called Stop Hug. And the practice really evolves around just kind of taking a pause, right? Sometimes, you know, in a relationship, we can get heated up and want to, you know, prove our point or solve a problem immediately. And you know, one thing we found that worked really well was just one of us being able to say at any time, we need a stop hug, and pausing the conversation, taking the hug, and moving on for a little while.
It kind of refocuses, doesn't it? It changes your mind and brings things back into perspective. Hey, let me ask you this, Edmund. Who does more of the stop hug? Who often brings that up? Is it you, or is it your wife that bring it up more often?
You know, her love language you were talking about, you know, is a little bit different than mine, and I like to, you know, get things resolved. So it's typically me, you know, it's typically my fault. I want to keep going, but...
Here's a man who says it's my fault. That's right.
That's great.
All right. Thank you, man. Stop hug. Hey, we do that a lot in our house. In fact, I'm a big hugger. My wife kissed and you know... She'll be reading a book, and she'll see me walk into the room. She'll say, here he comes. Well, listen, I'll tell you, these little things make a huge difference as we continue to remain intentional in a relationship. All right, let's go to Texas again. Ryan, what's that little thing that you're doing in your marriage?
One thing that I picked up on from reading the book Reconnected by Greg and Aaron Smalley, Greg had a friend who told him, gave him some advice one time that said to compliment his wife every single day. And the reason for that was he told him he didn't want the first compliment his wife hears to be from another man. So I started doing that a couple of months ago after reading that, is every single morning before my wife starts her work, I go in there and I give her a compliment every single day. So it's helped to really make her feel more loved and appreciated and knowing the fact that I notice.
And how has that impacted you? What difference has it made being intentional with that small thing for you?
It has made me feel closer to her as well, just being that intentional part, because we've done a lot this year, just in little intentional things to just try and be there with each other, spending time. That book also showed, you know, different things, not just the compliment, but just showing little things that are bids for attention that I missed a lot of times. So that one is one of those, just making her feel too more connected to me and knowing that I see her and that I value her and that I'm willing to give her that compliment every single day.
Yeah, that's good. Excellent. All right. We're talking about the power of one thing. And this is, by the way, that's a book that I wrote, the topic on the power of one thing. And it comes down to this: one thing done over an extended period of time every day will make a difference. Good habits, bad habits develop one day at a time. And we want to focus on breaking inertia, the things that keep us stuck. And in marriage today, what is it? Is it criticism? Maybe the one thing for 30 days, no criticism. Maybe one thing for 30 days is to pray for your spouse every day. Maybe in your marriage for the next 30 days, you're going to help without being asked every day. I don't know. You know your spouse, you know your marriage, and answer the question, what one thing could I do, will I do in the next 30 days that would make the single biggest difference in the marriage? And then do it. And I can almost guarantee you 30 days from now, you're going to be positive about doing it. And I bet your spouse will be positive that you did do it. Things can get better. All right. Time for one call. I think, Fred, you're last here. What's your one thing?
So I have a shop that I'm working in, and I listen to you a lot while I'm working. And last month when you had the 30 days, I heard quite a few of those. And so I started thinking about what it is that causes issues between my wife and I. And a lot of it is that she wants my time. She wants to spend time with me doing things. And those things don't have to be things I necessarily enjoy doing.
Mm-hmm.
But I've made it the practice of each morning asking her, what thing is there today that you want us to do together? And it could be anything from going to dinner to working in her garden and pulling weeds or cleaning the pool or just whatever, but it's something that she gets to decide what it is we're going to get to do together that day.
Hmm. You know, something,
and it's just made a tremendous difference in our attitude to one another, and you know, our love is just more evident.
Yeah, and what you're doing, Fred, is you're saying, because I love you and because you're a priority, I'm gonna plug into your life more than expecting you to plug into mine. You know, the Bible says, think not of your own interest, but the interest of your spouse. Doesn't say your spouse, but it should. It can, because the reality is it's everybody. So certainly it must be your spouse in many ways every day. All right, that's it for today. Thank you for sharing. You can leave a comment on our storyline at 888-888-1717. If you're new to about intentional living, we're here to help you experience life as God intended, cheerleading, encourage you in the process, because when you do, it'll change your life. For Jennifer, Steve, and the rest of the team, I'm Dr. Randy from Intentional Living, a ministry of Intentional Life Media.